I would like to give some little background so that would make things more clear that why I have this agenda. So basically, my own son is a severely autistic kid, and we both are survivors. So I faced, you know, firsthand experiences of discrimination, lack of support, incomplete funding resources that cannot take you, you know, to achieve the goal, and rather ends into frustration and as well causing the children a lot of deterioration. So all these my firsthand experiences inspired me that I need to prepare some platform so that I can fight for others. And for this election, to come to join this election, like, it was never even in my thoughts that I would ever go to politics. But after experiencing and also establishing our organization, that name is Ethan Vida Organization, and that also works for special needs and victims of trauma, and besides other, you know, problems for people in Canada. So all these things, you know, made me to, okay, you really need some position that can give you a platform that you can stand for others and raise your voice and represent all those who cannot, whose voices are buried. So that's why I joined it. And our agenda, the top priority is, if I'd been given the opportunity and people would vote me and I become candidate, not a Maori candidate, means I become MPP. So my first plan is to do advocacy for comprehensive care and rights of special needs, including children and adults. And second is, you know, the housing is a serious issue right now. And recognizing housing as a basic human right, so I believe that it should be more accessible for everyone. Like, everyone has the right to live in a safe space and hygiene or health-wise, not in shelters. Like, though there are some people who are, you know, into drugs and they have to go to shelters, but there is the shelter situation is horrible. Like, mold is dripping from ceilings. There are one bathroom for 200-300 people. There are skin, like, I saw with my eyes HIV patients and their skins like blasting and people running. It's ended into chaotic situation. So no one deserves, you know, to have, even they are homeless or, like, you know, they're into drugs, but they don't deserve to be in places that are not clean, that are not complete, where they can feel safe. So I want to fight for, you know, housing. Like, we are committed to make it more affordable living spaces. And then fighting poverty, you know, with practical solutions, not just talking about, oh, we will do this, we will do that. And then there are things in the law, in the books, in the legislation, but in practice, that there is nothing. $14, $16, $20, but people are struggling. And when they struggle, they are developing a lot of mental problems, depression, and all these things. So, you know, that overall results, consequences, of struggles and then staying in the poverty without any hope is causing decline in youth, in people. So they can't become a healthy social being for Canada, even as a country. Like, we need a healthy society mentally, emotionally. And we, if we want Canada to progress, if we want, and we start from micro level. So, for example, we work in Milton and make it that space by providing practical solutions, by challenging the legislation that compromise people, basic rights, income, all these things. So we need to fight for that. We plan to fight for that. We plan to challenge the legislation that compromise the rights, basic rights. And by this, we want to make sure that every resident, each resident of Milton, has access to proper, safe housing, living income, food, basic needs. And when we are working on this way, slowly these things can grow. And you know that to other, you know, with the passage of time, other people too, of other MPs of other cities, and like, you know, it will be, oh, okay, you know, that's how things are working. We need to follow that. And we can lead to the Canada that is even free from those mental problems and depressions and declining youth. Because Canada needs its nation to be strong, healthy, if you want to make it proud. And I think we need to eradicate poverty, housing issues, income issues, because even mental health resources, though they are already very less, but even if they are there and someone doesn't have food to eat, someone doesn't have safe shelter to live, so how that treatment, even free treatment, though psychiatry and all these are not free, but even those things can't help that person to overcome or to grow or to heal. So that's our other priority in our agenda. And then, you know, the other thing that I learned from my experience, I had a very horrible life experiences while, you know, you are in a like life and death situation and the MP's doors close and their assistants and the staff just tell you, okay, come back and, you know, all this and that. So I realized from all these experiences that even once I would be able to get this position, so I would be making sure to have first-hand relationship with the public, with the constituents of Milton. It should not be depending on the staff, the third person. Yes, there you can be busy. There are your life change. You have a lot of commitments. But you need to stay in touch. That's what I believe. So it's also in our agenda to regular door-to-door community meetings. Not just now. Like if I become MPP, I would be continuing this activity of visiting people in person, door-to-door. And then my fifth point is refugee and immigrant advocacy. We want to offer a welcoming hand and practical support. Some immigrants, like, you know, there are some people, I understand, you know, a lot of problems to our coming. People are not very happy that Canada should bring immigrants. But I would support the basic human right every human has, that if they don't feel safe, so they should have the right to go to the safe place. But on government and what we need to do to stabilize the system, to make things available to everyone. It's not that keep getting people and, you know, your own people are all in frustrated situation, can't pay rents, can't pay food. So it's all about proper management that is missing. And we want to welcome refugees and we also would offer advocacy if they are having troubles, like their dear ones, their kids are separated. So we would be doing that part. But at the same time, the local, like, you know, the natives, the Canadians, I agree with them as well that we need a very solid and practical policy to adjust immigrants. And I would do everything to, you know, get that policy in place, as well as not just in papers, like practically, they should be practicing all that stuff. And then there is a lot of problems. I did interviews to people, you know, this week I visited people door to door. and I note down some people's names. They were willing, and I did interviews. It's like a healthcare system, and healthcare is also one of our priority. Like, you know, emergency means emergency, and people go there, and it's like 14 hours, 12 hours, 13 hours. And sometimes, not sometimes, mostly I saw that the rude behaviors of hospital staff, the long hours, all they discourage people to come back even when they are in dire need of, you know, medical attention. And then that can lead to disastrous results, like mental health declining, physical health declining, some serious concern that being not addressed, and people got discouraged by the behaviors, by the timings. So we want to make sure that every person, every resident of Milton should be accessing emergency care, but in true sense of word emergency. Not like you're going to emergency, but you are going to stay for 8 hours, 6 hours. It just doesn't make sense. So in order to resolve that problem, we need to look for the increase of the salaries and income for the medical practitioners, the staff. And we need, you know, more clinics, more buildings to accommodate all these things. And we need funding. So I think healthcare is right now one of those priority that truly needed a lot funding, because it is important. It's not leading to healthy environment, not healthy life. People are frustrated. I saw in their eyes, and they are justified, because I myself experiencing all these things. So then, you know, we are also, I came across many families who are rich, but they are very sad because their children are autistic and they are 18 plus, and they are kind of completely deprived of education. And so we want to advocate for and making sure that every child and family has support and access to education. Like, you know, there is a suggestion from a family that, please, if that's possible, that government should pay attention to increase, you know, the numbers of years for special needs children, you know, especially after 18 plus. And what I observed and what I experienced, I did a master's and I had multiple special needs certificates, and as well I did a lot of placements, I did a volunteer work, and I just saw and realized there are some policies, especially about inclusion, about compassion, but it's not in practice. It's not in practice, and it's very sad. Because special needs, though they are special, but they have the right to education, to all social activities, social life. But I saw there is a lot of discrimination in practice, and it discourages people, and they kind of give up. So even those parents who want to advocate and fight for, finally they've been told, oh, you know what? We don't have funding. You know what? We can't do anything for you. Talk to the MP. Talk to the government. Knock their doors. We can't do anything. And that's not fair. So we want to fight for that. And other thing, that I didn't join any party. I have the opportunity to join any political party, but I didn't, because I don't want to compromise Milton residents' interest, the public interest. If I join political parties, I am bound to follow their agenda, that agenda is not public interest oriented. That agenda is only mainly political interest oriented. And I would hate to say that, but you know, it hurts. And so I am independent, and I would stay independent to represent Milton's residents' voice in specific, as well as, you know, through our organization. Our organization name is Ethan Reed Organization. That is first of its kind in Canada, determined to work for special needs and victims of trauma, and also works for poverty and different, you know, different aspects. So I would be continuing my efforts, my advocacy, and everything, even through my organization, for Canada. So we want to expand our agenda, services for Milton. But after getting this position, I would like to do things more so that we can start including all other rest of Canada as well. And, you know, I put Milton's needs first. I can't make any compromise on that. And, you know, I believe, like, you know, our direct communication with the Milton residents would be, should be enough to say that who I am and what I want and what would be my goals and how sincere and committed I am with residents of Milton. Rest, you know, like, I would leave it to Milton residents to decide. And I'm trying my level best. I don't have party support, so we are not some, you know, we are not financially very strong that can we do a lot, you know, promotional material, posters, like all that stuff. So to my voice needs to reach to everyone. And I don't have that support, like, you know, a lot of financial support that I can use, posters, materials, and all that. We are doing on limited, you know, way. But I would request, you know, that whatever possible, my voice can reach to everyone. And they should know that who I am and what would be my goal and how best they can trust me. And also, I want to convey this message to Milton residents that no matter if I win this MP election or don't, regardless, I would be serving Milton in specific through my organization, Ethan Reed.